May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Hymn 376.
the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honour me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honoured me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, do grant us now true prayer. Oh, may we be raised above ourselves, led by thy Spirit out of self to thee, delivered from formality, blessed with reality, the true, the blessed work of thy Spirit. Lord, do grant real life. Leave us not, Lord, to anything counterfeit. Oh, how abhorrent that is in thy sight. Oh, do save us from hypocrisy. Lord, oh, we do pray for the teaching of thy Spirit that truly makes a sinner feel his sins, mourn over them, truly makes a sinner feel lost, ruined, undone. And Lord, truly grants the prayer of faith, truly enables to look to Christ and trust in him alone, and truly brings to their soul, their heart, that blessed blood-bought pardon, truly sets them free, truly makes them love thee, abhor themselves, nor that truly fits them for heaven, that makes them fruitful here below as well. Lord, that true grace that really overcomes sin, Lord, nothing else can. Oh, let thy grace, Lord, be granted to us, that we might know even this evening, sin not to have dominion over us. Lord, oh, our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know them? Lord, we cannot. We don't know anything spiritually but what thou dost teach, make us feel. Lord, we pray then, oh, have mercy upon us. We seek the forgiveness of every sin. Lord, wash us thoroughly from every transgression. We pray for that true repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, who grant that eye of faith to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, save us from our unbelief. Lord, save us from every counterfeit faith. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. For, Lord, the alternative is unspeakably solemn. Lord, do grant us grace to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And Lord, we confess how we do let them slip. Oh, the truth is so often far from our hearts, far from our minds. We live as though we were here forever. We sin as though it was not the dreadful thing that it is. We take pleasure in things which thou hast forbidden. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. O Lord, we do pray then. O deliver us from all our wretchedness and all the temptations and allurements of the adversary in this world. We pray for a thankful heart, for all thy mercy to each one of us since we last met together. Thy watchful care over us. O Lord, life preserved, where healing mercies have been granted to one and another, and where life has been given, those children that have been born, and Lord, our daily food provided, and water, shelter and clothing. Lord, the bounty of thy providence, the abundance of thy goodness. Lord, thy patient forbearance with us. We do thank thee that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We thank thee, Lord, wherein that spiritual help has been given, wherein any spiritual blessing has been received. Lord, oh, it is all unto thee the glory redounds. Lord, we pray for grace to truly thank thee and glorify thy name. Lord, forgive our doubts. Lord, forgive our impatience. Lord, who is a God like unto thee? None is like unto thee. Could we bear from one another what thou dost daily bear from us? And Lord, thou art infinitely holy. That which we bear from one another, sinners bearing from other sinners. But with thou, Lord, who art holy, 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 oh, how infinitely great is thy mercy and grace and compassion. Lord, oh, it is only of thy love as thou dost view thy people, perfect in thy Son, and us have this in thy view in all that thou dost do, for them and in them. Lord, we pray then, go on to be gracious. We seek for this people, Lord, thy help, in each one's individual path. Lord, do grant that grace needed day by day. Grant that faith, that it may be running with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Lord, if we are not entered in that race, O Lord, do put us in. And if we have turned aside, to do put us back in, with a word behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And those that are ready to faint, Lord, tonight, give them even in this service, Lord, fresh supplies of thy grace. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. O Lord, do then speak with power. Reveal thyself. Oh, grant, Lord, we pray, that abundance. Lord, oh, what a great salvation we need. Greater than we know, really. The Lord, thou knowest. Oh, do bring us to that blessed place of childlike faith. He knoweth. Lord, oh, surely this is a fundamental truth concerning the foundation of thy people's salvation. He knoweth. Lord, help those in trial. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. We seek, Lord, that thy work may appear here. The salvation of sinners. calling of thy dead, the leading on, establishing, strengthening and settling of thy people, the blessed exalting of thy dear name, in and through the person of thy dear Son, in whom thou wilt be glorified. Lord, do appear for those in trouble. Oh, we pray for the afflicted. Grant, Lord, that merciful, gracious help they need, where it is thy will that healing and restoration, where thy will is otherwise, that submission to it, that grace sufficient. Lord, where thou bringing thy people down to their end, oh, especially we plead for them, that would shine upon them, as they feel the mud-walled cottage shake, oh, do so appear unto them, to drive away that deadly foe in all his temptations, and to give them courage in the face of that deadly foe death. Lord, to assure them their sins are forgiven, that they are thine. Lord, a glimpse of thyself, that will make them go on with the hymn writer, I long to see it fall, that I my willing flight may take to him who is my all. We seek, Lord, the help thy people need. Lord, oh, if they are crucified with thee, Lord, they must live with thee, by thee. Oh, we pray for them, for ourselves, this blessing. Lord, do make us willing to be crucified. Oh, give that faith by which it is experienced. Dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we might be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, we might bring forth fruit unto God. Forgive all we've asked wrongly. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 911. When saint to saint in days of old their sorrows, sins and sufferings told, Jesus, the friend of sinners dear, his saints to bless, was present there. Hymn 911.
And
Seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, reading verse 13. Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? The Eternal God speaks unto his child. Even in the solemn condition, he sets forth in this chapter his child was in. Thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Yea, before the day was, I am he. That God with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. The Lord, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The incomprehensible God. Oh, how we, left to ourselves, are continually trying to comprehend God. But if he is our God, he will bring us to feel the utter confusion that such an attempt brings us to. And one of the ways he brings us to feel and know the confusion of our attempts to comprehend him, to measure him, to understand him, is when he brings us to feel to need a God beyond our comprehension. When he makes us to realize our sins are beyond recounting, so many that we cannot sum them up, and they are of such enormity. And when he brings us to realize what a completely ruined thing we are. Oh, what a wretch. What a lifeless lump of loathsome sin, as the hymn writer speaks of it. And you're brought to feel this. No God that I could ever comprehend could save such a wretch as me. You then need the incomprehensible God. And that's the way the Lord brings his people to seek to know the incomprehensible God. He says, and all thy children, Zion's children, shall be taught of the Lord. He says, they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest. And in such a word as this, yea, before the day was, I am he. Oh, how this goes utterly beyond all the powers of our comprehension. But blessed be God, That faith which is Holy Spirit is the inspirer of, the communicator of to his people. That faith, why? That reaches where sense cannot go. By faith, we believe the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Things which are made, not of those things which do appear, by faith. Oh, the eternal God, who never had a beginning. Without beginning of days, before the day was, that first day which he spake into being, and that first day which he brought to a close, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Before that day was, I am he. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now, is that a God that we can comprehend? To create everything out of nothing? No. Before the day was, I am he. I am he. The same as he ever was, the same as he ever will be. I am that I am. And then, before that day, child of God, when you were quickened into life, before the day was. Oh, what a day that was. It was appointed by him. My time, said the psalmist, are in thy hand. I am he, thy God, child of God. 'Twasn't your will that brought about your new birth. You had no thought of him, no prayer toward him, no desire after him. The Lord knows where you were, secretly in your heart. He knows where you were outwardly in your life. Before the day was, I am he. And those days of which he speaks in the previous verse, I have declared and have saved. Determined was the manner how eternal favours he had bestowed. Yea, he decreed the very place where he would show redeeming grace. And how he proves this to his people with regard to those days in their life. A day when perhaps you awoke. You had, of course, because you're a poor, finite man or woman, no thought as to what would happen that day. The future is wisely hidden from us. Before the day was, I am he. That trouble he brought upon you, that affliction he laid on your loins, that blow he laid upon you in your providential circumstances, before that day was, I am He. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to mine eye. And that day of deliverance, where it has come to any of you, your time is always ready. My time is not yet, said the Saviour. Oh, He waiteth to be gracious. But He never is a moment before His time and never a moment behind. Those days, the appointed path, those days, the appointed length, those days after days that Joseph passed in that prison, they put his feet in fetters, his soul came into iron, until the day, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Before the day was, I am He. We will see the purpose of the Lord in speaking to His people like this is to cause them to believe in the eternal God. His purpose in speaking to them like this is to deliver them from thinking of Him like they think of other poor men. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself, he says, but I will set thee in order. Oh, how it was so with Job. Wasn't this the way the Lord took him, bringing him to his deliverance? When the Lord spoke of himself to Job, where was I when I did this? Where were that? Where was thou when I did this and that? Hast thou power over these things that I have power over, saith Almighty God? And what is the effect of all these words to Job, with the Lord's blessing upon them? He believes in God. And that makes him feel, as he expressed it, behold, I am vile. I have opened my mouth unwisely. I will open my mouth no more. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I bore myself and repent in dust and ashes. Have you ever been brought there? And if you have ever really been brought there, it was in the same way, in your measure, as Job was brought there. It is by the greatness of God that sinners are delivered, as He makes Himself known in His greatness. Before the day was, I am He. This day that you may be in today, all these difficulties, before that day was, I am He. Before there was ever a day, I am He. This trouble then in this day you're in, whether it represent a day, 24 hours this day, or a time in your life, a period through which you're passing. Oh, and you see, the way the Lord brings His people through these days is by causing them to believe in Him who says, I am He, before the day was, I am He. Especially with this respect, with respect to, oh, the condition that the Lord describes of his people being in this chapter. This condition of sinfulness, this condition of making God's, causing God to serve with your sins and wearying him with your iniquities. But he reminds them, I am God and not man. Oh, that will of his, he will not be altered by this day. This day, poor sinner, wherein you have backslidden. This day, poor sinner, wherein he convinces you of having made him to serve with your sins. I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. The Lord's hand. We must try and speak of it as the Lord enable us with regard to the context, the Lord here speaking to his people. They are in his hand. They ever were in his hand. I know the thoughts I think toward you, he said, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In that sense, they're ever in the heart of Almighty God. And with respect to their preservation, as they were born into this world, in that sense, they're in his hand. All the protection of Almighty God, of this precious thing, his child. How precious they are in his eyes. None can deliver them out of his hand. No, they'll never be out of his hand. While they were dead in trespasses and sins, they're in his hand in this respect. He watches over their path. The dangers that come upon them, he preserves them in those dangers. The enemies that perhaps come against them. Some of them have been in the Lord's providence in such dangerous situations. Perhaps a soldier in warfare, dead in trespasses and sins, but a child of God. Could one of those enemies' bullets kill that one? No. May have wounded him. That may have been the Lord's means of calling him by grace as he lay there wounded on that battlefield. Or it may have been in a dangerous employment. It may have been through the wickedness of their nature being permitted by God to have reign. And through their own foolishness they put themselves in such dangerous situations. None shall deliver out of my hand. But then, in an especial way, when that one is caught by grace, they come into the hand of God then, in a special way. And the Lord speaks of that special way. He that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. You see, Jacob was created by God. He was one of those twins that was formed in the womb of Rebekah. But there came a time in Jacob's life when he began to be formed by God. That is the new work of grace in his heart. You see, we don't know, the Lord does not tell us in his word. And therefore it is not necessary for us to know at what point Jacob was called by grace. It's so with many of the Lord's people in the word. Whether he was, before he had to go out, sent by his father after his sin, his deceit, or not, we do not know. But we do know this. He was certainly born again. If not before, at the time when the Lord met him that night. Under the stars of the sky. As he laid on that ground with a stone for a pillow. And God appeared unto him in that vision. Formed the Lord's word to him. And you see, Jacob, he was formed by God. That is, his soul was molded, fashioned by God. A vessel unto honor and not unto dishonor. He was caused to hear the voice of God. He was caused to believe the voice of God. He was caused to worship God. There is none that can deliver out of my forming hand. Forming, fashioning, shaping hand. You see, look at what followed. The path Jacob had to pass through under God's forming hand. All the trial he passed through, laboring for Laban. Those lessons he learned. Oh, you see, what a forming that was as Jacob has to suffer. The same sin committed against him as he committed against his father, the sin of deceit. He served 7 years for Rachel. And Laban gives him Leah, in pretense of it being Rachel. But he serves another 7 years. All that took place through that time. And then he is sent back by Almighty God after his appointed time. Return to thy country and to thy kindred. And Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. The Lord forming him. Oh, the fear the man's heart is filled with. Greatly afraid. Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. And a man comes and wrestles with him, the Lord himself. Forming. None can deliver out of my hand. You know, when Jacob was at that brook Jabbok, it would appear that he was intending to follow over the brook, those that had gone before. He'd sent his family and all his household over, and the flocks and the herds, and he was left alone. And the Lord took hold of him in such a way that no one could deliver him out of the Lord's hand there. Have you been in such a place? Have you been left alone like Jacob was, and the Lord to hold you? Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. Solemn, and yet blessed. Back at Bethel, Jacob said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. You sang in that first hymn, the text above it, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. But Jacob wouldn't have said that if the Lord didn't have Jacob in his hand. What had Jacob been doing? He sent a present over to appease his brother. He splits his company into two bands. Oh, what a strategist Jacob was. But Jacob's not going to get to heaven by strategy. Jacob's not going to be preserved from Esau by strategy. None can deliver out of my hand. Oh, the mercy of it. Jacob left to himself, he would get himself out of God's hand. Think of that hymn, thy parents' arms are not thy own, are those that hold thee fast. None can deliver out of my hand. None can deliver out of my hand. You see, that was when he was given a new name, when the Lord blessed him. Thou shalt no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He's given a new name, which the mouth of the Lord named. A prince. A prince. The son, one of the sons of God, by adoption. Oh, you see, that's the one that wrestled with him. He's the son of God that wrestled with him. And he said, I've seen God face to face. And that's where the poor sinner is favored to know they're a child of God, when they see Christ. By living faith, they see God, the Son of God, face to face. By living faith, and their life is preserved. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. None can deliver out of my hand. Oh, that security of that sinner in Christ. Jesus himself said, didn't he, none shall pluck them out of my hand. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There is their relationship with God. It's an unbreakable one. There is their sonship. There is their life. There is their all in the hand of God. Isaiah 49. Zion fears. She comes to the conclusion she's out of the hand of God. My God hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. And he said to her, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. The hand of his grace. the hand of his power, the hand of his love and of his mercy. It's all set forth and treasured up in Christ Jesus, isn't it? It has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Out of my hand, the hand that wrought Jacob's salvation, the hand that secured Jacob's righteousness in obedience to the will of his Holy Father, the hand that conquered Satan. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in our time of need. You see, go back to that which I tried to say earlier with regard to this day. This day when Jacob has made God to serve, caused God to serve with their sins and wearied him with their iniquities. But none shall deliver them out of my hand. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Where is that? When Jacob is altogether perverseness, and he is full of iniquity. This hand of God, out of which none can deliver his people, he sets forth Christ in all his glorious person and all his glorious work. There's the hand that none can deliver a child of God out of. All the attempts that were made by Satan to get the church out of this blessed hand. Again and again Satan sought to do it. How could he do it? By the fall. Because all Satan accomplished by the fall was to ruin man in himself, in his nature. It didn't ruin man in the standing that God had put him in from everlasting. Their standing remained just the same after their fall as it was before. They're standing before the fall. This is the elect I'm speaking of. They're standing before the fall. Wasn't in Adam. And after the fall, it couldn't be in him. No. Oh, but when the Son of God comes forth, takes our nature without sin into union with himself, oh, how Satan attempted right from the very beginning to overthrow this holy child. Right from his birth, God the Father directed Mary and Joseph. He is preserved from the intentions of Herod. His life is preserved. You see, in that preservation of his life is the preservation of the life of the whole church of God. He could not die. Till that appointed time when man didn't take his life from him. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. None can deliver out of my hand. You see how Satan tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. He verily suffered being tempted. For being God, how could he fall? That nature which he took, spotless, holy, undefiled, pure, impeccable, and it is taken into union with his Godhead in such a way as it is one person. Oh, how incomprehensible this is, but how precious to the eye of faith when the Holy Spirit gives a poor sinner a glimpse of it. Oh, is it, you see, have you ever seen Christ by faith? And in seeing him by faith, you felt all the wisdom of God in that mystery. How it was done we can't discuss, you said, but this we know, 'twas done for us. And as for God, his way is perfect. He couldn't be the Saviour I need, he couldn't be the Saviour he is. If that mysterious incarnation had been done in a way that poor man could comprehend, no. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. And Jesus said to Satan, it is written. Oh, you see, there was where the church of God was. That was where the church of God was. That was why Satan was coming against Christ. He knew that that was where the church was. He knew that if he could get this one to fall, the whole church would fall. But he couldn't. Spotless, innocent and pure, the great Redeemer stood. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. And Satan tries again. This time, the friendly words of Peter. Lord, thou shalt not go to Calvary. Thou shalt not be betrayed into the hands of sinners and be crucified. Lord, far be it from thee. But, you see, that attempt failed. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. Oh, that law, the law of God. How in the person and work of Christ. What a security to those people. When the law comes to Christ, and the Lord Jesus, in that glorious, mysterious, blessed way, he drew near unto God his Father in respect to the settlement of that great law. Who is this that engaged his heart to draw near unto me? It is his Son. And he draws near unto his Father. And saith, as the hymn writer paraphrased it, pardon them, punish me. And how? That perfect sacrifice of that perfect, spotless, immaculate Lamb of God. This man hath done nothing amiss. Can anyone pluck that sinner out of the hand of him who's fulfilled the law for them? Yea, before the day was, I am he. This was my purpose from all eternity. And God has no second thoughts. Before all worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, to settle by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. You see that covenant engagement. And Christ is the mediator of that covenant. That is, it is by him, through him, God fulfills every one of those covenant promises. Now, as he is the mediator of that covenant, as he has sealed the covenant with his own blood, who can deliver a sinner, a child of God, out of that hand? And can that one who is eternally interested by the sovereign choice of God, his election, sovereignly interested in that everlasting covenant, their names written there, can that one be cast out? Can anyone deliver them out of his hand, out of that covenant engagement? No. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. Well, you see, both with respect to Christ, who I've tried just a little to speak of, and with respect to the covenant of which he is the mediator, in that, in Christ, and therefore in that covenant, oh, there is all the gracious work of God in that sinner. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, says Paul, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You can't be delivered out of his hand. You would try and deliver yourself out of his hand in that respect. With regard to you going to the cross, not in the way Christ went, of course, but you bearing your cross, you being crucified, you would say like Peter, far be it from me, Lord. Oh, we might not say that with our lips. We'd say the opposite with our lips, but what hypocrites we are. When really, as the hymn writer said, Father, thy will be done, in words we may express, but in our hearts we want our own and wish our sufferings less. But the Lord says, none can deliver out of my hand. My people must be crucified with my Son. They cannot live without that. There's no life by Christ but by being crucified with him. Oh, my dear friend, none can deliver out of his hand. You may try and find a resting place here below, but if you're in his hand, you won't. You'll find there's only one resting place, or rather God will find it for you, and that's his dear Son. And there's only one way you can rest in Christ, and that's being crucified with him, dead with him. Oh, a helpless sinner, dead, but to live by Christ. Dead in self, but to live by him, having no righteousness of your own, but his righteousness being granted unto you. Being utterly barren yourself, but by virtue of his fruitfulness being made fruitful. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. Oh, how readily we follow that course that Paul took. The thorn in the flesh is given. We plead with the Lord to take it away. No, none shall deliver out of my hand. Maybe there's something in your life, in your body, in your business, in your family, and oh, you've pleaded again and again with the Lord. Lord, take this away. Deliver me from this trouble. My dear friend, if you're in his hand, he will not deliver you out of that trouble outwardly until it has done what he intends it to do. And what does he intend every trouble that he lays upon his people to do, to bring them to him? That's the working together for good. none shall deliver out of my hand. All the safety of this. The safety of this. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. And you see, really, those that are in the Lord's hand, they must have, here below, trouble upon trouble. What does Bunyan say? When one troubles o'er, another doth him seize. Now, the worldling, like Job's three friends, who were without the special light of the Lord, whether they were the Lord's people or not, we leave. Job was commanded to pray for them, which gives me to believe that perhaps they were the Lord's people underneath it all. But you see, when all those troubles came upon Job, they thought those troubles were marks against him. They thought those troubles had come because he had done some gross, dreadful sin. He was a sinner, but not above others. No, he was a just man, fear God, upright. Those troubles came upon him because the Lord, he was in the Lord's hand. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But you see, there won't be an end of it till the believer is landed in heaven. We foolishly think there will be. When the Lord kindly and mercifully delivers us from some particular trouble that perhaps, and we may have been in it for years, and the Lord delivers us, and we foolishly say to ourselves, well, now it will go easy. But where do you get when it goes easy? Where is prayer when it goes easy? Psalm 107. That's an account of these people that are in the Lord's hand, and it's an account of how they can't get out of it. They're not going to be able to give up praying, because the Lord is going to keep laying upon them things that they need to pray for deliverance from. And the Lord keeps putting prayer into their hearts. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. And you see, in these things, the Lord brings his people to realize it is his hand. You see that in Joseph's brethren, as they represent the child of God under the Lord's dealings as set forth by Joseph's dealings with them. He spoke to them roughly. But what are they brought to say? We are verily guilty concerning our brother. And when they are apprehended and Joseph's cup is found and the money, listen to what they say. What is this that God hath done unto us? None shall deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? I will work. Work in my people and for my people. His work is always according to his word. His work is always according to what he says he will do. His work is always with one main purpose, his own honour and glory. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Oh, what a great work is needed upon a poor sinner to form him for God's glory and to show forth his praise. What work is that? The new birth and that continual chastening. What work is that? That emptying, that overturning he speaks of. I'll overturn, overturn, overturn till he come whose right it is, and I'll give it him. That's Christ. I will work. Oh, before the day was, I am he. When God finished the 6 days creation work was finished. But salvation work wasn't. Nor will it be finished. And this is the work he speaks of. I will work. I will save. I will save. I will do this work. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And what a tremendous work. It's greater than creation work. This work, oh, what was necessary? That I've briefly already spoken of. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Humbling himself and being made a servant. Behold my servant. I will work. God's servant, his dear son, I will work. What a tremendous work. Was there anything too hard for him? No. Was that law too hard for him to fulfill for his people? No. Those sins of his people, was it too hard for him to put them away? No. Those miracles which he wrought, did they ever bring a case that was too hard for him? I will work. But you see, the whole of it is his work. Nothing else is good enough. He looked and there was no man. He trod the winepress alone and of the people there was none with him. I will work. But then you see, left to ourselves, we fought to taking fault with him concerning his work, don't we? But before the day was, oh, the mercy of it, have you proved it? When you were saying, in heart, if not in lip, God has made a mistake. And he has kindly borne with you. If he were not God, if he were not I am, he couldn't have borne with you. No, but an everlasting love, a covenant engagement, none can pluck them out of my hand. Even when they say I've made a mistake, saith Almighty God, that won't put them out of my hand. When Sarah laughs in the tent and says, shall I have pleasure being old as I am? God still performs his promise. I will work. I will work. Yes. His time. His way. His work. Glorious in his eyes. Behold my servant. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now you see. Oh, the Lord help me to try and bring this, as it were, together. Oh, may the Lord bring it together in your soul, child of God. That the Lord might strengthen you with this word. I will work. You see, what is the effect of this word? If he calls you to believe what he says, I will work. Now cease him from your own works. And the sooner we're brought to do that, the better. What did we ever accomplish by our own works? When you've had a hard heart, have you ever really softened it? When you were prayerless, did you ever bring yourself to really pray? When you were full of fears, did you ever really remove those fears properly? When you were bound, did you ever free yourself? I will work. The whole of that work. I am Alpha, says Christ, the beginning and the end. And I'll give to him that is athirst. Now what is that he gives? He gives of that finished work. He gives of himself. I'll give to him that is athirst. This poor sinner that's athirst in the way we read in Isaiah in another chapter. We have been with child. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We've not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the earth fallen. Now this is the water for that thirsty soul. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. I will work. Resurrection work, cleansing work, pure cleansing. I will work. I'll make that vile black sinner as clean. Their scarlet dyed sins, I'll make them as white as snow. Their crimson dyed, they shall be as wool. The heart of stone, I'll make it like flesh. Their idols, I'll cleanse them from them. I'll put a new heart and a new spirit within them. From all their filthiness and from all their idols will I cleanse them. I will work. I will turn that one who is full of enmity against me to love me. I will work. And who shall let it? That is, turn it back, hinder it. Who shall hinder it? None can hinder it. None can hinder it. Who could possibly hinder the work of him who before the day was? I am he. Oh, none can hinder it. And yet you see, oh, how often we think, do we not? Why is this so long? Why is this trial lasting so long? Why is it we don't see the Lord's work appear? I will work, and who shall let it? The very cause, he will bring it to light. Your sins have separated between you and your God. And have caused him to hide his face from you. How will that matter be put right? But who can break down that separation that sin has caused? You know, it's the view of this, I will work, that causes the poor sinner to say, let thy work appear, Lord. Turn me again, O Lord. Cause thy face to shine, and I shall be saved. You see, what a promise. I will work. You know, this is the promise upon which really every plea for the Lord's deliverance is founded. The Lord saying, I will work. What a certainty. We may say, I will do this and I will do that. We've no right to say it. James says we ought to say, if the Lord will, I will do this or that or the other. But it's certainly, we shall never be able to say, I will do this that the Lord says he will do. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? You see, I said just now, the effect of this word It causes a sinner to cease from their own works. But it puts them in a work. It puts them in that labour that Paul writes of. That end of that chapter that speaks of the resurrection, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labour is not in vain in the Lord." And what is that labour in the Lord? Not for the Lord, but in the Lord. It's when by his word to you, you're found pleading with him to do what he says he will do. And you see, I said just now that this work that he will do is according to his word. Now he will bring your attention, child of God, to a word that speaks of what he will do. He may at times, as he does, speak especially a promise with divine power, that you might have strong consolation and cause you to flee for refuge to the hope set before you. You might lay hold of that hope. I will work, and who shall let it? Oh, the undeservedness of the sinner won't let it, won't hinder it. All the work of the devil won't hinder it. I will work, and who shall let it? Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach next Lord's Day in the evening and on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint and die. Hymn 1068.
Dear Lord, do pardon all that's been wrong. Do bless thy own word. And grant it may remain with thy people. Preserve us safe, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.